Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the second day of July, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is, excuse me, the truth shall prevail. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page on that website where we put current events and information about health and such things. And there is a home page where if you feel led to help us out with a donation, there's information there that will tell you how to do that. If you do not have my personal contact information, that website has a page called Contact Us. If you fill out a note there and hit the send button, it will get to me and I'll address your issues. An old adage goes, do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. And that's the problem with our people today. They acquiesce and give in and they don't even try many times. Another adage goes like this, life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. And, you know, in the church world, I've noticed over the years many times, people think of our Heavenly Father as a genie in a bottle. They just go to Him when they want something. They don't ever think about, well, you know, He might like to hear from you with just some praise and thanks for the things He's already done for you. We don't seem to have that attitude anymore. We're not humble people. We're arrogant, self-centered, narcissistic even. And we wonder why our nation is being cursed, why we have all the troubles that we have. It's not all the enemy, ladies and gentlemen. They don't have the power that you think they have. They have the power to deceive. They can make you believe that they're all-powerful, but they actually aren't. You got to remember, our Father's in charge of everything. We do live in a dystopic world, and of course the definition of that is a state in which the conditions of life are extremely bad, as from deprivation, oppression, or terror. So we are in a dystopic world. Richard Buckminster Fuller told us, you never change things by fighting the existing reality, otherwise known as Mystery Babylon. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. Well, what would the new model be? Living according to God's law. When have we done that? You know, I tried to look through history. At what point in history did we actually live under His law? It was a long time ago our people asked for an earthly king and man's law. That was a huge, huge mistake. So, Ralph Waldo Emerson told us, if a man can write a better book or preach a better sermon or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. Another way of saying it is, if you come up with a better idea for anything, the world seeks that sort of thing. It's more efficient. It's what competition's all about. You know who hates competition? Who are the people walking this earth today that said competition is a sin? Jews. Oh, I know, your history book calls them bankers, internationalists, corporate leaders, industrialists. They got all kind of euphemisms for this crowd. But in reality, they are satanic, devil-worshipping Zionist Jews. And so to them, competition is a sin because their goal and their God is money, gold, silver. And so competition prevents them from bilking us to the maximum, which is what's happening in the world today. Usury is depleting the world's wealth from almost every nation with natural resources. And so these people, like a giant sponge, are sucking up the liquidity or the currency of the various nations of the world, because that is their ultimate goal. So for them, yes, competition is a sin, because it drives prices down. It makes companies provide better products. So they did everything they have done, could do for over 150 years to stifle competition and to use government regulators to ensure that their corporations are unmolested, driving out the, quote, competition. You know, we had laws at one time against monopolies. Well, they found a way around that, and it's called corporations and dummy corporations, etc. So that the tentacles go out there, and in effect, you look at like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street, okay? What are they called today? They're not called monopolies. They're called what? Oh, investment brokerage houses. What is it? And it's, you know, Rose by any other name is still a rose. A monopoly under the head of a few corporation giants is still the same thing. It's a monopoly, which goes against God's law and man's law when this country was founded by men who believed in the living God. Unfortunately, most of our people today are not really believers. As the word tells us that if you're a true believer in the Almighty, there will be signs in your life, in your speech, in your conduct. And when your life doesn't reflect those things, it's obvious that you're not a true believer. So, that being said, it's evidence, prima facie evidence, that our people are no longer truly believers. Proverbs 25, verse 2 tells us, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings and priests, that's us, is to search out a matter. And that's the thing today, okay? They think everything should be easy. You know, give it to me easy. I don't want to have to work for it. I don't want to have to take away from my television time or my play time or my going to the bar and getting drunk time. No, don't make it easy. But it says right here in Proverbs, it's the glory of God to conceal it. In other words, if you're a truth seeker, you should have the drive to dig and dig and dig to find that truth. But if you're not a truth seeker, of course you won't. So it's the honor of us as his kings and priests upon the earth to search out these matters, and that's what people are starting to do. The true sons and daughters, okay? We have a lot of pretenders. They go to things called churches and synagogues and cathedrals and pretend to be his children, but in effect, and in reality, they are not. One of the clues as to how to turn this thing around is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people on whom my name is named, who uses the name of our Father? We do. People that teach identity, because we correctly identify who's who in the zoo or who's who in the Bible. If my people, on whom my name is named, make themselves low or humble and come to me in prayer. Well, that's another thing our people have lost the ability to do, is talk to the Father. It's called prayer. Searching for me and turning from their evil ways. Searching for me and turning. Let's see, and. Oh, that's a conjunction. That means doing both things. Seek out the Father, who is what? Truth, justice, reality, not social constructs by evil devil worshipers. Searching for me and turning from their evil ways. I look around the world to me, I don't see a lot of turning from our evil ways going on. Then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their sin. Sin is what? Transgression of his law. And will give life again to their land, or restore their land, overlooking their transgressions. Again, these are all conjunctions, meaning you have to do them all. If you want the result, you have to do them all. It's called a logic ladder. In studying computer science and how computers work, logic diagrams, we used to use those, and it was called an AND gate. You have AND gates and OR gates. And in electronics, an AND gate means all of the inputs must be high in order to get the output. It's called a logic. An OR gate means any of the inputs turned on will give you an output. So this is like an AND gate, meaning all of the inputs coming into this thing, where the Father will overlook our sins, give ear from heaven, and restore our land, you have to have all the inputs turned on. We've forgotten that. We don't know how to make ourselves humble. We've forgotten how to pray. We're certainly not searching for His ways and turning from our evil, wicked, man-made law ways on this earth. And yet we wonder why we don't get the result. As an electronics technician, it'd be easy to see if you put the probe on there and I got all these inputs, but I don't have an output, then it's a faulty gate. Unfortunately for people, our Father doesn't make faulty electronics. He doesn't make faulty anything. And so, therefore, the reason you don't have the outcome is because all of the inputs are missing in your life. Life as an individual and life as a group of people. An old adage of our founding fathers, when the government fears the people, we have liberty. Now, why don't we have liberty? Because the government doesn't fear us. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny. Tyranny, absolutely. And one of my favorite quotes, Henry David Thoreau, because this is exactly what's going on. There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. And what is the root of our evil? People are starting to get it. That's one reason I titled today's broadcast, "The Truth Shall Prevail," because as many of my listeners and I have discussed here recently, things that we've talked about on this radio show for many years, actually, are now being reiterated through other platforms. And that's a very good sign. Okay, imitation is a form of flattery, but in this case, imitation is a form of Scripture coming to life. Scripture says that my truths, my word, will not go forth without providing a change, without accomplishing a goal. And so preaching His truths is starting to permeate and percolate through our society and now many platforms. I was actually quite impressed by an article written by Miss Smallback on newswithviews.com. Excellent article talking about the wheat and the tares. And as it was pointed out to me, many of her points that she makes in this article have been addressed on this broadcast by yours truly and our guests and our members for many years, and now it's percolating through. And then right after that, I turn on USAWatchdog.com with Greg Hunter, who used to work for CNN. Now he's independent truther and a believer in our Father. He had a guest called David Morgan on, and excuse me, hold on a second. His guest, David Morgan, also a believer and a financial expert, went through a whole litany of what he sees happening, what he predicts happening, and a way for us to survive it, virtually identical to what we've been talking about on here for years. All these are indicators, again, that Scripture is very, very true. Our Father does not create this information, this truth, this understanding for no reason. When the Scripture talks about light and darkness, it's not talking about like turn a flashlight on in a dark room. That's not what it's referring to. Light and darkness are referring to consciousness, truth, justice. Dark represents ignorance, ignorance of our Heavenly Father and His law, where light represents truth and consciousness of Him and His law. Because truth, light, brings prosperity and health and justice to the world. And that's why we are the light bearers, as the tribe of Benjamin was known, light bearers. Benjamin today can be found in the nation called Iceland. They are predominantly Benjaminites, and of course there are Benjaminites in every white nation and some non-white nations today, but there is a large percentage of Benjaminites in that nation. It's kind of funny, population-wise, Iceland produces more gospel and more hymns material than any other nation on earth in regards to size of population. So they are prolific light bearers. It's also interesting that the disciples were all Benjaminites. Well, they'll say, no, Judah the Jew was not. Well, Judah was a devil, was an adversary, put in there by our Father to do exactly what he did, which is betray Yeshua. And then he was killed. His replacement was a Benjaminite. So all 12 of the light bearers, Benjaminites, children of the right hand, that's what Benjamin means. Ben or Bane means child. Jamin, of the right hand. So Benjaminites, light bearers, go forth, and that's what we all are supposed to do, whether we're literally of that tribe or not. Another very good verse to talk about the world we live in today is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Here again, the reference to light and darkness is ignorance of truth and Yahweh's law. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, people that turn everything around, upside down, right? I came across a plaque I have hanging on the wall. I got it from my brother many years ago. And I saw it today and I thought, you know, that's a very inspirational. I don't know if it's actually a poem. It was found in St. Paul's Church. A lot of people think back in the 1600s, but that's actually not true. It was a much later creation. But it's called Desiderata, which is Latin, of course. And I thought I'd read it to you today because it's always, every time I've stopped and read it, it was, again, inspirational. So I thought we'd share it today, and then we'll get into the verses that have to do with our truth will prevail in this time of famine for truth. Desiderata, go placidly among the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all. Speak your truth quietly and clearly. And listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. Hallelujah. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter. For always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially, do not feign affection. Neither be cynical above love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is a perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of your youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here, and whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with Yahweh God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life. Keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. Again, Desiderata. I don't believe anybody really knows who wrote it for sure. There's a lot of debate about that. But anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. And if anybody wants a copy of it, just email me. I'll be glad to take the PDF and send it to you. And you can print it out and share it with others if you wish. But again, what a crazy world. Absolutely crazy world we find ourselves in right now. The last 3.5 years with the whole nonsense. But think back, it actually started in earnest in 2001. So we're talking 22 years ago with the staged event called 9/11. And it was staged. It was orchestrated. It was done by people within governments, particularly the Israeli government and our own, with a few others involved. Okay, it was a staged event. It has changed the world as we know it dramatically. And it's the way the enemy always works. They create a problem, come up with the solution, and, you know, it's the old Hegelian dialect, problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem to get the reaction and then provide you the solution, which was something they wanted to do anyway. And they often brag about this. I remember when Rahm Emanuel, the Jew in the diabolical Obama regime, he was Obama's handler, Rahm Emanuel from Chicago, a Jew, obviously. He bragged about the fact, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. And what we need now is another Pearl Harbor. So 9/11 was their Pearl Harbor. Okay, Pearl Harbor was used as a great deception to get us into the worst war this world has ever known, has drastically changed things in this world. Many, many people affected one way or the other. And again, a ruse used to get us into that. So 9/11 was just another Pearl Harbor. We've had so many of them that it's unbelievable. I've made the statement and I'll stand by it. There are no terrorists in the world, not real ones, not just a happenstance of men who get together and go, let's create terror and do this. No, no, no. Terrorists exist. But they're government-sponsored terrorists. They're not just something that pops up out of the Middle East or Southeast Asia or anywhere else, and all of a sudden they go around killing people, etc. That's bullshit. That's 100% total fabrication and bullshit. Every terrorist activity going on in the world is government-sponsored terrorism. Every one of the terrorists is a government-paid agent, all right? So if you believe that there's actually terrorists out there or hijackings or any of that, you're dumber than a box of rocks. I'm sorry, but you are. Especially at this point in time with so much evidence out there of what's going on. And the fact that these miscreants lie, lie, and lie again. They don't have an ounce of truth in them. They don't have an ounce of integrity and honesty in them. So again, if you believe any of that crap today, you're just dumber than a box of rocks. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, which Petros means rock, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, a lot of people say that's why the Catholic Church was formed. They called Peter the first vicar of Christ, and every pope is another vicar of Christ, blah, 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 which is all, again, total BS. The rock that he built his assembly, which this word church comes from ecclesia, and we've talked about that Greek word. It doesn't mean church. The actual word church is an ancient word that means circle. It was used by pagans that got together in circles and committed pagan rituals. So the word church is actually an abomination. Ecclesia means his called out one. So he said, and on this rock, the rock being referred to is Peter's confession of who Yeshua was. That's the rock, not Peter himself. That's ludicrous. Peter was a fallible man like all the rest of us. That's not a rock to build anything on. The confession of Yeshua being Messiah, that is the rock that he built his assemblies, the ecclesia, on. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And indeed, the gates of hell will not prevail against his ecclesia. You and I that call out his name, and he calls out our name. John 14, verse 6, Yeshua said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. It's all three. No one comes to Yahweh the Father except through me. Well, why would that be? Because Yeshua and the Father are one and the same. In fact, his very name, Yeshua, means Yah saves, Yahweh saves. It doesn't say Jesus saves. It doesn't say even Yeshua saves. The word Yeshua, the name, means Yah saves. Yah, of course, is short for Yahweh. I am Yah. The same thing with the word hallelujah. People say, well, we don't know what the ancient people said. Yeah, that's true. We don't speak ancient Hebrew today. Even though if you go to the nation of Wales, you'll hear something very, very close to it. If you go across the channel there to Ireland or up into Scotland, you'll also hear the dialect that's very, very close to it. We call it the Gaelic languages, but they are based on ancient Hebrew. So again, there is a remnant of our people, especially in the Misty Isles. Where have we read that before? Hidden away in the Misty Isles, away from mainland Europe and all the nonsense going on there, where the traditions and language of our elders was preserved. So Yahweh had a group of people known as the Welsh preserve his sacred tongue in their language. I read an article some time ago, probably a couple years ago, that the Welsh are now increasing efforts to teach it. For a while, it was going into disuse, possibly going extinct as a spoken language, because everybody there obviously also speaks English. And English has become the universal language of the world. However, probably by the leading of the Spirit, the people of Wales have put a lot of emphasis now into making sure that their language does not disappear, and they're opening new schools to have people learn it. I've got some songs that are available online. They are sung in the Welsh tongue. And a lot of people think it's kind of a guttural language, which ancient Hebrew was also known as a guttural language. But when you listen to these beautiful songs in that language and all, you'll realize that no, it's not. It is a beautiful, beautiful language. So, and it is the mother of all Indo-European languages. 1 Timothy 3:15, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of Yahweh God, which is the ecclesia of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. You know, a lot of problems we have today is because there's not much truth in the world, okay? The media lies with impunity. Your government lies to you with impunity. In fact, they've even created laws that says it's okay to do that, to lie to you. Oh, they'll call it propagandize, but that's just another way of saying lie to you. So we no longer honor the truth, and therefore, once you've lost that, you've got no foundations, no institutions that you can look to be honest with you, it's a very disconcerting thing. It causes much division, and we're watching the results of it in our world today. It used to be people thought they could go to a schoolhouse and be taught truth. We found out that's not true. It's a lie. Communism is taught in the public school system. In fact, I would dare say if anybody has their child in the public system right now, you are performing child abuse. That's a form of child abuse. They don't teach your child how to think. They don't teach critical thinking, and they propagandize them with communist dogma on a daily basis. And now sexual perversion. Why in the hell anybody would allow anybody they care about to be in the public school system is beyond me. People say, well, what am I going to do? Well, try homeschooling. I did it. It wasn't that hard. In fact, it was a blessing to see just how well the children do on their own. You know, people say, well, that's the teacher's job. No, the teacher's job is not actually to teach. Children learn on their own. They have natural curiosity. As parents, our job is to funnel information into them as they grow and as they need information to expand their knowledge. Not every child does that at the same rate. Some people are precocious. They may be at a brilliant level at the age of 7 or 8 years old. Other people won't get started till they're a teenager. And some people don't get started ever. The point of it is every child is unique and different. To put them in a cookie cutter system like the public education system is a joke. Our job is to raise them up and give them what they need as they grow, as they show what their inclination is toward, what their innate abilities are good at. And again, I'll remind you, when this country was actually a God-fearing country, we did not teach children in public facilities. We taught them at home, and they learned the basics, reading, writing, and basic math. That's it. Anything beyond that was up to the child. If they were going to be a physician or a doctor or a scientist or an inventor or whatever, of course, they needed more material. They would often go off to special schools of learning, or they would become apprentices to a master, whether it was a master craftsman or a master scientist. You became his apprentice. That gave him cheap labor to assist him in his work. It gave the child a chance to learn from the master. So it was a quid pro quo arrangement. And it worked beautifully. I myself went through an apprenticeship program. It was with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. I became a nuclear power instrumentation mechanic, basically meaning I can work on anything with electrical and electronic signals in it, as well as hydraulics, pneumatics, and water. pumps, filters, instruments. That apprenticeship program lasted for 4.5 years. Longer than college, can you imagine that? 4.5 years, meaning I was working with journeymen, which another name for a master, somebody who's already learned the trade. I carried the tools. I went to run for things that we were missing. I did the grunt work that I was told to do as the apprentice. I was given classes. I was also given tests to perform every 6 months. And I had a journeyman take me into the field and test my ability to actually put hands on equipment and do it safely every 6 months. That's a pretty strong apprenticeship program. When you come out of that program, you had a knowledge. In fact, there are some companies, such as Bechtel International, some companies would treat that apprenticeship program as the equivalent to a Bachelor of Science degree. Bechtel would take somebody with that kind of training and actually call them a field engineer. So again, the apprenticeship program, instead of the way we do it now, you put somebody in there who has an interest and you give them a lower pay scale because they are learning, but they still have a job. They're providing for their family and learning a trade at the same time. So apprenticeship programs. We have a lot of common sense things to fix our problems, but we got to get away from this nonsensical idea that people in government are there to help us. The corporations care about us. They don't. They're all run by these same satanic Talmudic Jews who want to rule the world. And people say, well, how can you say that, Dan? You are anti-Jewish. Are you anti-Semitic? I don't give a crap what you call me. Truth is truth. These people are very outspoken about the fact they consider themselves the supreme race on the planet. And every other race of man is here as their slaves. They speak it openly, in public. There are even kikes that say it openly in forums that the white race needs to be eliminated. Well, Dan, how can you say such a thing? Well, look at that female specter over in Europe talking about the end of the white race and gloating about it. Little kike. All right? Now, you say it's hard to believe that they would think that way, and yet we already talked about the fact they don't like competition. They consider competition a sin. They are the masters of this world in their own minds. And therefore, the white race who has created every civilization upon this earth of any matter is obviously competition. It stands to reason, then, that Jews would consider the white race an enemy and wish to have us annihilated. They don't think that way about the other races. That should give the other races upon this earth a pause, a reason for concern. What do you think's going to happen, you non-white folks out there? What do you think's going to happen once the Jews annihilate us? The white race. What do you think is going to happen to you? They don't consider you competition. Actually, they've been very outspoken about the fact that you're very docile and easily led. The white race, on the other hand, at least a portion of the white race, not so much. That's why they hate our race, they hate our faith in the living God, because they are anti-Christ. They are anti-Yahweh. They are anti-truth. They are anti-good. And you say, well, Dan, how can you say such a thing? Well, look at the world around you and the mess it is. Go down the rabbit hole and figure out who paid for all this. Who organized all this? Just like the massive amounts of these ignoramuses coming across our borders, people like George Soros, a kike, and his ilk, and the World Council of Churches, which is what? Catholic, which is another way of saying Jewish. The Catholic religion was created by them. Why do you think popes and bishops and cardinals wear yarmulkes? Come on, folks, wake the hell up. They are very much behind the importation of all these monsters coming in from other lands. Again, with the stated purpose of destroying the white race. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all of the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the assembly of Yahweh's people, which he obtained with his own blood. So again, obtained with his own blood is obviously referring to Yeshua. And it says right here, the assembly of Yahweh God. Again, a reference that could easily be shown as a proof that Yeshua was Yahweh in a flesh body. John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. By the way, the word comes from the Greek word logos. Most of the time it's interpreted as word, but it also means plan. Because logos in the Greek is where we get the word logic in English today, meaning intelligent, an intelligence behind it, whether it's a spoken word, takes intelligence to learn a language and words and their meanings, but also to create a plan requires intelligence. Okay? So logos could be interpreted as either way. So sanctify them in the truth. Your plan is truth. Yahweh himself is truth, his plans and his spoken word, with the intelligence, his enlightenment behind both. John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Holy Spirit. You know, I'm in the middle of an altercation with a guy on Telegram who constantly wants to have me admit that the Holy Scriptures are inerrant, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard this argument before. And I keep asking him, well, which scriptures are you talking about? Because we have manuscripts in various languages at various points of history. Almost no complete manuscripts except the Septuagint exist. We have fragments, many fragments. And most people never do a deep dive into where did the, quote, scriptures that we use today, where they came from? Who did the interpretation? Where are the original manuscripts that these things come from? Okay, not very many people look into all that. I did when I first learned about identity because I was curious because so many people were arguing about, well, the King James is the only inherent Bible and there are no errors and all that, and yet it was pretty easy to tell there's errors. There's some actually very big errors, such as thou shalt not kill. What? No. How about thou shalt not murder? Okay. Oh, well, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you, killing and murder are two different things in a way. Murder is a form of killing, but you can also kill a criminal breaking into your house. That's justifiable homicide. Somebody raping a woman, if you come across them, you pull them off of her and put a bullet in his head. That's justifiable homicide. You catch a pedophile, you put him up against the wall and you shoot him. That's justifiable homicide. Somebody kidnapping a child or a member of your family, you put him up against a tree and put a bullet in his head. That's justifiable homicide. Those are crimes that require capital punishment. Killing. So how could there be a commandment, thou shalt not kill? Well, there wasn't. It just said, thou shalt not murder. What's the difference, Dan? Murdering is shedding innocent blood, not innocent by man's law, innocent by God's law. If you lay in wait in the bushes and a man or woman comes comes by and they don't want to give you their money and they struggle and you kill them, that's murder. They did not commit any crime. You, therefore, are a murderer. And murderers are to be executed. This world would be so much more peaceful, a paradise, if we just obeyed God's law. We're not doing it because Satan's kids, because they control the money, they control the media, have convinced you that you need to follow their laws. And they love it that way because they'll make sure their kind do not ever get punished. Look at Washington, D.C. It's full of people that should be hanging from trees, and they're not. So that tells you that righteousness is not in Washington, D.C. Righteousness is not in our state capitals. In fact, righteousness is hard to find anywhere at this time. Because if it was, we would see a lot of trees with individuals hanging from them. Because that's exactly what they deserve. Oh, Dan, you sound like such a violent person. You just have a hateful heart, Dan. Well, I don't look at it that way. You know, your concern seems to be with the criminals. My concern is with the victims. You know, the scripture tells us to walk in another man's shoes before we judge anything. Well, how about walking in the victim's shoes? Try to put your mind into the mind and body of a woman that's just been savagely raped by three blacks in Chicago. All right? I can easily do that. And so I could easily put all four of those guys in a tree and hang them till they're dead. Wouldn't bother me at all. I put myself into the member of the family that was gunned down in a drug deal because he happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and was a witness to a drug deal, and so they shot him dead. My empathy goes to the victim and his family. I'd like to see those drug people put up in front of a firing squad and shot dead. That makes me evil? I don't think so. I bet the family doesn't think so. Of course, today we've got some mental retards out there that probably would think that's cruel and unusual. But in my book, no. God's law is a perfect law. You take criminals out and you execute them. People who would kidnap. Put yourself in the place of the kidnapped person. You're locked in the trunk of a car for days, weeks, not knowing if you're going to live or die. Can you imagine that? Do you ever take time to actually think about that? Or how about the ones that were buried underground and with an air tube in there? Okay, how would you like to be laying there like that, not knowing what's going to happen? My empathy goes to that person, not the criminal that did it. When you find the criminal that did it, you execute them. And there was a day when race traitors were executed. But now we got a population that's almost all mulattoes, half-breeds. And again, I've got a shelf over here with all kinds of studies in there about the fact that most of your violent crime is committed by half-breeds. When I first read the book, I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. So I went online and looked up the 20 most wanted violent criminals in three or four states near where I was living at the time. And sure enough, the mugshots on the website, virtually every one of them was a half-breed. And I'll be quite honest, the one part of the mixture typically was black. Black white, black oriental, black Jew, whatever the mixture, but 9 out of 10 times the violent criminal had black blood in them, but they were mixed. They weren't pure. My friends that used to have plantations in South Africa, I used to talk to them back before there was the ending of apartheid, and they would tell me that the blacks of South Africa and they themselves got along very well. Why? Because the blacks in South Africa at that time were primarily pure black. And they appreciated what the Afrikaners were doing in South Africa, allowing them to come there for jobs. Because remember, South Africa was virtually vacant when the Boers came there and established that country. It wasn't taken over. It didn't have blacks there that were successful, and the Boers came in and stole it, which is what the Jewish media wants you to believe, which is total bullshit. They came in there, it was a wasteland. They turned it into a paradise, because that's what white people do. And then the blacks showed up. They wanted jobs. They wanted hospitalization. They wanted homes, something more significant than a mud hut made of sticks and mud. So reality is, they got along quite good. And then Nelson Mandela and his wife, both of them murderers, both of them hideous communist niggers, because that's what they are. Sorry. All right. They show up, brought their communism with them, and then all hell break loose. And the modern media was on the side of the blacks, the black communists. And they got you and I to agree that apartheid was the worst thing. Not all the murdering and the raping and everything else, the necktie parties, all that the Nelson Mandela types were doing. Oh, no, that was fine. But, oh, my God, a South African nation ruled by whites? Where in the hell did you ever get the idea Africa belongs to blacks? You people don't know shit. I'm sorry, but you don't. North Africa never was ruled by blacks. Never. North Africa is where the kingdom of Carthage was in North Africa. Egypt was in North Africa. Many other Caucasian empires existed on the northern slopes of Africa, above the Sahara Desert. The Sahara Desert was like a great dividing point, and the blacks live sub-Saharan Africa, meaning Central Africa. They weren't in the South and they weren't in the North. They were in Central Africa. And yet people today, because they're really retarded and they're too lazy to look into anything, they never think about that. And even blacks themselves are ignorant of it. So we bought into it. Let's take away white rule. And we had traders on the white race in South Africa that sold out the Afrikaners. Now look at South Africa. It's a total nightmare. I'm in communication with Jan and other people in South Africa all the time. Total nightmare since the blacks took control, just like every other nation where blacks take control, just like all the American cities that have black mayors. Total nightmares, not one success among them. Yet our people buy this stuff. What is wrong with our people? It's because truth no longer matters. Or as it says here in John 8, verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? Ignorance. Being manipulated by the Jewish media. Being manipulated by criminals that call themselves government officials. Criminals called corporate leaders lying to you, feeding you junk and poisons, and they're allowed to call it food because the government is criminal. Set you free. You shall know the truth. But do you know the truth? Do you care about the truth? The truth shall prevail. Always has, always will. But in the meantime, you suffer. You suffer because you don't know the truth and you're not looking for the truth. I've said it from day one on this radio station. If you can show anywhere that we say something that's in error, please contact me. I'll be glad to allow you time to come on here and straighten us out. Since 1999, when this started, I have not had one time somebody contact me that wants to take me up on that offer. Not once. I did have two calls. I had one homosexual and one black guy say they didn't like what I was saying. I said, I don't care if you like what I'm saying. I said, what am I saying that's wrong? Well, I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just, it's hurtful. I said, I don't give a damn if it's hurtful. What you people are doing to my country is hurtful. Watching a beautiful land turn into what it is today is hurtful. So do you think I care that you're offended that I'm telling the truth because the truth offends you? No, I don't. Nor will I. Truth is truth. If you can't handle it, that sounds like a personal problem to me. Certainly not my problem. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Again, little flock. Do you ever feel like you're part of a little or tiny flock? Yeah, you are. It's the way it was meant to be, because most of these zombies and automatons out here aren't going to make it. Sorry, but they're not. Isaiah tells us in chapter 54, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. If you stand in the truth, you need not fear. That's a promise from our Heavenly Father. I would to God that our people would be truth seekers again. We have ceased to be that for quite some time. We care more about what people say about us. We care more about our pensions and our savings accounts. We care more about materialistic things. You know, that's another amazing thing that came to my mind. Yahweh put Adam kind, those who blush and show blood in the face, Adam, he put Adam kind on this earth to tend the garden, to keep it. And at no time was there a requirement for money. The land is for our use. The material on the land and in the land is for our use. Without government regulation, without the need for bankers' notes, coinage, or fiat currency. No requirement whatsoever until man-made government came along, who had the Jewish bankers as their buddies. And they figured out ways to make it, quote, legal to tell us that we had to have their permission to buy, alter, use the land. What a scam. What a scam. And what a complete turnaround from reality. What our Heavenly Father gave us. First John chapter 3. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Actions speak louder than words. That's an old adage that comes from that verse. Actions speak louder than words. There's a lot of televangelists that I watched over the years. Well, they had great words. Their actions, however, didn't live up to it. We have some modern-day ones like Kenneth Copeland and John Hagee and Steen or whatever the hell his name is, that Jew. Osteen, that's it, Osteen. Okay, their actions certainly don't show any kind of righteous living whatsoever. They're opportunists. They're businessmen. Selling a line of BS to the people in exchange for millions and millions of dollars. You know, it's funny. Those that teach this truth, they have to survive on a shoestring budget. Every teacher of this message I've ever known has to do it pretty much out of pocket. But the people that will tell lies to the people, they get millions and millions and millions of dollars. Isn't that strange? I find it strange. Now, teaching the truth, of course, is never to be done as a, quote, occupation or with the idea of making money. Obviously not. I'm not advocating that at all. But I just find it interesting that our people will shell out that kind of money, and our governments, of course, will do it because they're antichrist, to the purveyors of falsehoods and lies and deception. While the poor souls that are the prophets of this age out there trying to tell the truth, they don't have a whole lot coming their way. And again, I'm not trying to disparage anybody. I'm not trying to convince anybody to do anything. I'm just telling you it's an observation. Interesting observation. And a further proof of Yahweh's word and the fact that it will always stand the test of time. These are the conditions that we were told about in Scripture at the end of the age. And so the people want to be told lies. They want their ears tickled. Tell me lies. Make me feel good. And so these purveyors of that fantasy and that lie, they ride around in jets. They own, just like Kenneth Copeland, he's got a multi-million dollar house, all kinds of airplanes and jets and all kinds of expenses and cars, all kinds of stuff. Telling lies, especially lies that support the Jews, will make you lots of money. Not going to be able to use it much longer when the hammer falls. And you sure as hell not going to get very far in the hereafter with your excuse that you were just doing it as a job, or the Jews offered you a lot of money, so telling lies, I thought, was okay to do that. Well, that's not going to get you very far. Or as we usually say, let me know how that works out for you. All right? Again, people that do those kinds of things, I often wonder how they even sleep at night. But then they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have a conscience. They have no empathy for mankind. They are empty vessels. Empty vessels. And so it doesn't bother them to do these things. All right. I'm going to... real quick, just in case there's any comments, I want to open up the phone lines here and just see if anybody had anything they wanted to ask. Okay, I've unmuted you folks. Anybody have anything they want to add to the conversation here, or somebody want to report anything to the folks? Going once, going twice. Going three times. All right, very good. Again, I just give the opportunity. It doesn't mean anybody has to actually say anything. It's just if they did, that's the opportunity to do that. I do want to remind everybody, too, that Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern time, we do have our conference call on free conference call. That is an open forum and a chance to fellowship as a family. We need that today. We need to uplift each other, as Scripture says often. You know, we're brethren, and brethren should disciple with each other and teach and to lift up and to address any concerns or tribulations that they happen to be going through. And trust me, our people are going through a lot of them today. I hear from folks quite often. So we lift each other up with our concern and our voices and with our prayers. And Yahweh does answer prayer, folks. There has been some victories in the corrupt courts. As corrupt as they are, there's a family of believers in Virginia recently had a very successful hearing against a liar and a misfit in Virginia. And my own family had a victory in Georgia with a liar that put up false charges, and it all went backfired on the accuser. So praise Yahweh. There are victories out there. It's not all doom and gloom. It's not all you can't win, etc. No. You have to have the spirit of a warrior. You have to have the spirit that you're going to resist evil, which lying and deceiving in the court is evil. You resist it with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And trust that the Father will walk with you. All right? That being said, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We just ask that you lift them up and give them the spirit of encouragement, the spirit of truth and honesty. Give them the spirit of warriors that will be victorious in this battle. And there are signs that this world is about to go through a dramatic change. The wicked have been ruling over us for a very, very long time, and it has gotten extremely out of control. And we know that you're not happy with that, and that Ezekiel has told us that there is a vast and mighty army ready to take these people on. We pray that that time is now. It is time for the righteous, the men of Yahweh, to be manifested. Take up the sword of justice and put the evil in the ground where they belong, and to protect the innocent, the orphans, and the widows. To that end, Father, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always we ask that you protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we do pray. Hallelujah.